It's a Panthers podcast here on Panthers Radio. We're going to reflect on the appointment of Danny Stewart as the new head coach of the Nottingham Panthers. The exciting appointment of Danny Stewart, who of course joins the Panthers from the Coventry Blades. I'm joined as ever by the podcast crew. We have Ken Feast on the road, Dan Green who's cooking, Jono Bullard. Evening to you guys.
Evening.
And a special guest, we're very delighted to be joined by our CEO, Omar Pasha. Hello, Omar.
Hi, Chris. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on to this this podcast that I'm a regular listener.
I guess. Brilliant.
Yeah, we've got to behave now, lads. Just
no jokes, guys. Listen, I'm going to come to you guys in a moment, but since Omar, you're here, I think the obvious and biggest question is why Danny Stewart? What made you want to appoint Danny as our new head coach?
Well, you know, after after the year we had, I think there was a lot of reflection during the season, and we had the incident that happened, and everybody knows that we wanted to keep Jonathan on board, and we wanted to, you know, not just see a real season under Jonathan and everybody there, but and understandably so, Jonathan came to me and you know, he just basically said that he felt that it was time for him to take a different opportunity. And who blames him, right? The season he had to experience, you know, the ups, the downs, I don't want to say it's too much, you know, but there was some down moments throughout the season that many people at the club suffered. And with Jonathan, I do think that looking now at the decision he takes and almost talking to him, you know, on a, you know, bi-daily basis, you know, we talk 2-3 times a week just about players, about whatnot, about, you know, even our Brits and everything. And, you know, it was the right decision for him. And now when that happened, you know, I kind of wanted to go back to the drawing board as quickly as possible and look at, you know, the traits that I was looking for as a coach. First of all, that experience. I think the loyalty to clubs is big and vice versa, right? And you look at Jonathan stayed in Sergi for a long while, and you look at Danny stayed in Fife and Coventry for many, many years. And the one thing I really, really respected with Danny throughout the years is how his teams compete. And I do think he's probably one of the most underrated coaches in the league. And he doesn't get that recognition, but he did a great job for Coventry, in my opinion, with, you know, and I've the utmost respect for that club, but with resources they have. And he's a guy that's extremely passionate. And obviously when you do your research, I have many guys that I coach and he coached, and they spoke extremely highly of him, you know, as a person, but also as a coach that's able to keep guys accountable, but also to drive everybody to a common goal of being a team that really sticks together. And again, so when that discussion happened with Jonathan, I thought, you look around, you think like Danny was one guy that, you know, was at the top of my list. And, you know, after initial chats and sharing some of the same visions and him, you know, going through his own, you know, difficult times towards the latter part of the season, losing one of his good friends and now coming to Nottingham, I think it's the most, you know, exciting moment that I've had in a few years, because I know there's that experience that he has in the elite league, but also that knowing, you know, fast tracking these conversations I've had in the last 2 years with coaches and how we want to play and the different teams and all that. And when we both speak the language that I think saves us a lot of time, which gives us, to my opinion, maybe a bit of an advantage going into this season, especially with the continue of some of the players that we have back.
Stay there, Omar. I'm going to come back to you very shortly. I'm conscious, Kenneth, that you're in a lay-by. So you're going to get...
so wrong.
Yeah, no jokes, please, guys. No jokes. But thank you for pulling over to chat to us. And I know you got a bit of a journey back. You're on board this Danny Stewart train. I saw your social media. I think you're excited by this.
Yeah, I think it's initially for me, it came completely from left field, if I'm honest with you. Didn't, you know, obviously you think of lots of options for the club, and Danny Stewart was I'd never even, I was complete left field. And initially I was a bit sort of like, you know, eyebrow raised a little bit. And then when I started thinking about it and thinking about the experience he has in the Elite League, his passion when he was a player, his passion as a coach, the fact that, you know, as I say, no disrespect to Coventry, but their resource base probably, you know, not what some of the big clubs are, and they're in the mix. They finished above the Panthers 2 years running. They were within 4 points the season before that. They're a team that on a given night gives you problems, and you can tell that he has players that want to play for him, and I think, you know, he engenders that spirit within the teams that he coaches. And I think as well, taking a step back and looking at, I think he does a lot more at Coventry than just the coaching. So I think he's got, you know, a lot, he wears a lot of hats. And I think to have somebody with that passion, commitment, who knows the league and has that sort of 24/7 attitude that Pash has brought to the club as well, I think is a good thing. And, you know, my view is we've tried lots of different directions, haven't we? We've tried, you know, the big brash American. We've tried the sort of, you know, Euro coach. We've tried rookie coach. We've tried all different options. But what we really need now is a period of stability. Someone who knows the league, somebody who's going to put a passionate team together and be passionate about the Panthers, and is going to start that process really of rebuilding the club back to where it should be. And I think Danny's a great guy for that.
One more question before you go. You mentioned that word passionate, which is really interesting. This fan base loves passionate people. You know, you look how they reacted to the famous Jonathan Paraday bumped out fist pump combo. You know, that they love seeing that passion. You know, he's a type of character. I mean, I think they love to hate him, you know, and he joked about that in his first interview. You know, he came and got the jeers as a player and even the catcalls as a coach. But he's that type of character that if he's yours, you're going to love him. And that's that passion that I think the Panthers fans will identify with, won't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember him, you know, he was, you know, you love to hate him when he was a player. You, like you say, jeer him as a coach when he's getting wound up and all of that on the bench. But one, you hate to be against, but you love to have in your corner. And think back to some of those tilts with Bruce Richardson back in the day. Yeah, and, you know, absolute, just pure passion. I mean, the other thing I'm excited about is the fact that he's always managed to have a knack for finding some decent netminders. So I'm hoping we end up with a decent netminder, you know, here at the Panthers. We need a stud in the net, and hopefully Danny will help us find a gem somewhere.
Wonderful. Ken, I'm going to let you go. It's the shortest appearance you've had on the podcast, but safe travels. We'll catch up with you
soon.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Cheers, Ken. Cheers. Jono, you've been watching the Panthers, you know, millions of years, as we talked about. You know, he's probably a guy that you enjoyed. Well, in fact, I've seen your picture. You interviewed him outside the Cluffy statue. And in fact, that will be where my point goes. You know, you interviewed him 10 years ago or whatever.
10 years ago, outside Lace Market Chippy after Fife had just got knocked Chippy. Out. Fife had just got knocked out of the playoffs by Belfast 1-0. And he sort of came past and threw a comment our way and then came back and I grabbed hold of him and got a quick interview out of him. So yeah, he's a great guy, and I've always had a lot of respect for him. Definitely jeered him as a player, as Ken said there. But yeah, a really good guy, a real good hockey guy, and, you know, loyal. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and, you know, he's built some very, very good sides in Coventry over the past few years. And they've definitely, I think I said it on my Twitter yesterday, they're a team that have punched above their weight over the past few seasons. And they've always seemed to have competitive teams. And I have no doubt that he will be able to continue that here in Nottingham.
going to Greener now, who I had to mute earlier because he was getting pots and pans. So you're going to have to unmute yourself. But Greener was cooking or maybe washing up, couldn't quite tell. Greener, how important do you think, not only is he an experienced coach in this league, but he's also been an experienced player. So he would know what it is like to be a player in this league. So he would know what's required of his players. And let's not forget, he won back-to-back Elite League titles as a player with the Blaze. And I think he won a Challenge Cup and a Knockout Cup. So, you know, what player requirement is, he knows that down to a T. How important do you think that will be?
Yeah, I think it's massive. You know, he knows the kind of, obviously this league's very different with the format, you know, with the Challenge Cup and the way that the league is the big thing and the playoffs is really short. You know, a lot of new coaches coming in, it takes them a little bit of time to kind of get a grasp with that. But I think if you look at the most successful coaches, you know, I'm sure I'm missing some. If you look in the last 10 years, it's probably kind of, you know, Corey, Adam Keefe, maybe Paul Thompson, and all of them had the same thing. They all played for a lot of years in this league and then they coached for a lot of years in this league. And I don't think that's a coincidence that understanding the league, you know, that kind of import and Brit meshing them together and, you know, the officiating here and the way all the rinks are a bit different. It takes time to kind of get that all down. So I think, yeah, like you said, Danny's done it in all aspects here. He's won as a player. He's played, he's coached three different teams. He's probably coached over 10 years already. So yeah, I think a really good appointment. And I think he kind of, like Omar said, he kind of ticks all the boxes.
Omar, how important is that kind of long-term stability? You looked at how long he was in Fife. You looked at what he did in Coventry and constantly in, you know, I think every year but one, maybe the Blaze qualified for the playoffs, got them to the Cup semi-finals. Obviously, the pandemic year, they were right up there, if I remember. Just a couple of points, I think, off top spot. And Panthers, we were just a little bit behind. How much do you see that as a long-term project? Is that something high in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You look at, you know, like that was the direction I wanted to take last year. And obviously there's unforeseen incident that happened. But when you look at the opportunity that we had, we didn't have this opportunity last year to get Danny. And this year when we had the opportunity to rise up to get him, well, you know, it was important to jump on it. Obviously, continuity is one thing. A guy that's able to stay at a certain place. Not just in our league and everywhere in, you know, in Europe or in the NHL. I mean, there was a stat I saw the other day about the NHL coaches, the longevity, and it's extremely short. So to get a guy that's able to stay at a club for 8 years and then the year before, the year in Fife, I think he stayed, I think 5 or 6 years consecutive. That was extremely important. Obviously, from team wise, you know, I said what I'm looking for my team. So obviously, with him helping the recruitment, being involved as well, being led by myself. I mean, I think there's going to be a good mixture because I think Danny's teams are always gritty and they always stick up for each other. And I remember as much as it was frustrating, we lost against them. I remember on the New Year's Eve and how it finished. And, you know, you can just tell their guys were playing on that edge, right? And that wasn't the first time I've seen a Coventry Blaze team play like that, you know? And that's one thing. But also, I think what people don't really know about Danny, and maybe some things I've learned, like his personality is always, you know, what's best for the club and what's best for the team and always about the team. And you can tell right away he's embraced being a Panther and he's really excited to create that model on the ice that not only everybody can be proud, can be entertained, but also bring back that winning culture as well. And yeah, I'm very confident with him. I think this year it's been a long year for everybody involved in the Panthers, but I think this has rejuvenated a lot of people at the club and to make sure that we, you know, we face some hardships. But I think now with Danny coming in to steady the ship, but also not just steady the ship, I truly think he's one of the most underrated coaches in the league. Like I said to him this year, I think he coaches his bum off, you know, with the team he had. And in the past, you talked about the COVID year, like, you know, they had no business competing against those big clubs and you never know what could have ended up that season if there was four, you know, if the season actually completed. So it's quite impressive. And I think everybody, when they get to know Danny more in depth, you know, the staff and everybody around the rink and everybody will know the type of character they had. And hence why I think they were, he was quite loved in Coventry.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that table when it finished, they were, 3 points behind the leaders they were at the time of the season ending. They were 3 points behind Cardiff Devils and they were 2 behind Sheffield with a game in hand on them. Greener, I mean, you would have played against him. Did he ever score past you? Do you remember?
I don't remember him scoring past me. However, he was on that Blaze, like you said, early years of the Blaze. And obviously I was in Basingstoke. So there's a good chance in the odd 7-1 loss, he probably would have chipped. I only remember like Calder and Weaves and Cloutier scoring all the time, but I'm sure he probably chipped in with a couple. But yeah, we took some big beatings off them back in the day. So it wouldn't surprise me.
But as I say, he was a real competitor on the ice. You remember that competitive spirit, which he then took in, which he's shown in his coaching as well. You can see that passion.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to that Blaze team, they had the superstars, you know, the Calder, the Carlson, the Barry Moores and everyone. But, you know, he was kind of one of those guys that kind of made them tick. You know, he fought a bit, but he just did everything. He blocked shots. He was physical. He was kind of that glue guy. And yeah, absolutely. I think that's how he coaches. You know, he's obviously never been at one of the, you know, top teams in quotations, but he, you know, he fights and he scraps for every point, and his teams do that. You know, they're always, you know, rugged, physical, intense. They battle right to the end. And yeah, I think that sort of personifies how he played. You can see a bit like an Adam Keefe team. You know, he had that kind of role and you can kind of, you know, see his teams following that in that suit. So I think it'll be very entertaining team and a very hard-working team.
Jono, we kind of touched on it, but then got slightly sidetracked. You talked about your interview with him 10 years ago, but I found when interviewing him for various things like Premier Sports or Sky Sports, he was never afraid to do an interview. He was always willing, you know. You know, some coaches don't enjoy it, and that's understandable. Other coaches revel in it. You know, Danny was always there. I remember like being ringside and saying to him, can we just do a period at the end of this, an interview at the end of this period before you go back to the dressing room? Yeah, no problem. Never turn one down. And that's important, isn't it? Like, you know, when you get a head coach, that engagement to come across and to be honest to your fan base is important. And I always felt, I listened to Danny, he would not afraid to criticize his team when need be, not afraid to stick up for them if he felt. And that's important. I've certainly always been impressed with Danny and the way he's conducted himself with his honesty and openness in the media.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there was a performance where they got quite a bad beating. I think it was in Cardiff. And he came in the post-game interview and he was dead honest about the performance. He didn't hold back. And I think fans appreciate that honesty as well. When the head coach, you know, it obviously, when things are going well, you're going to say they're going well. When you're happy with your team, you're going to say you're happy with your team. But I think it's also important that when things haven't gone quite right or things haven't gone the way you wanted, that you are honest and you do say so. And he's certainly a coach who does that consistently as well when I've heard in interviews with him. And I think that's one of the reasons why he gets such a lot of respect, not only from fans but from people within the game as well. It is because he has that total honesty when he's facing the media, and you can't ask for any more than that.
Omar, obviously you coached against him, you know, in your time when you were a coach. How fun was he? I think you're probably at the Storm then, weren't you? How fun was he to battle with then?
Yeah, there was an incident. I didn't bring it up. We're still in the process of teaching him how to eat. Well, actually, it's quite good. He sent a good one. We have these gifts of Panthers now. So when we sign a player, we send each other a Panther. So he's quite good at that. But we didn't talk about that famous incident yet. I did ask him about the incident he had with the assistant coach in Sheffield, though. So yeah, I remember that one. So I was like, hey, what happened then? But no, look, he's a very, very passionate guy. He's been always a person that I think we had a very mutual respect. And, you know, we had our same Because like you, I don't know which who mentioned like had different hats on. I mean, when you're at a club like Cub, just like I was in Dundee, you do a million and one things from, you know, from planning the travels to obviously recruitment is one thing, but then the housing, then, you know, the marketing, the PR, the everything, you're kind of doing a bit of all. Now with Danny, I think he did have a lot of roles. And what I was always curious is with Danny is like just a coach, you know, come in and be a head coach. I think that's the opportunity he has here today. And especially at a club that is needed of an experienced coach that has coached in this league. And, you know, we could have went, like Ken said, we've tried different things, but for me, it was the same ethos, like the continuity being at the same place for X amount of years, but, you know, adding the fact that it's in our league and a club that he knows that he played against. And that, you know what, we had a horrific incident last season, but now is a great year to bounce back. And I'm confident with him. He will give us the best ability, not only to bounce back, but bounce back with a purpose. And I'm looking forward to seeing the team play with that same passion that he has and same work ethic that he has.
Just a few more questions to you, Omar. You know, we've probably got the chance now because we talked about this on a previous podcast about Otto Niemimann returning. How important was that signing? You know, basically one of your two players of the season, you know, guy who walked away with three awards at the Elite League Awards, top of your point scoring charts. You know, I know there's lots of key signings, but how much was a statement of intent, do you feel, was it to get him back, and how happy were you for that?
Yeah, well, Otto was one of the key guys. Obviously, we have a few guys locked in, and those were even the conversations with Danny. And you know, what was really happy with Danny is the guys that we locked in. Well, there were guys that Danny was big fans of as well. So it was good to get them on board. And he saw the benefit of having those guys. And when you talk about Otto, I mean, look, you know, for me, the biggest thing that kind of is when you look back, and I think what was good about this end of the season, there was so much emotions going on, you know, and that's not only from, you know, fans or people, that was from players, from coaches, even from myself being involved. And then when you take a step back, you kind of look at, you know, the overall season and the guys that really, really embrace being a Panther. And I really think that all the guys embraced it, but Otto, you know, for me, that last 2-3 months of his play, and you guys all saw at the start of the season, I think he wasted so many of his goals in preseason, right? I'm like, Otto, keep some for the regular season. But you can just tell his passion, his dedication to this club, his embracement of this club. He loves the fans. He loves the city. He loves the club, and you know what? He's a key player on this team, and he will be a key player again on this team moving forward. And I think, like with the team struggled, you know, throughout those, I think we all know the stats of the 24 games when we came back from the horrific incident. Having Otto during that time, he probably wasn't playing, you know, to standard, but that was only a 4 or 5 week span. And then we depended a lot on him and how he finished the year. You can just truly see he could be an efficient player with us, a top player in the league, and help us get back to, you know, ultimately how we started last year and stay there, you know.
And just about other players coming back, I know you won't give anything away, but I think it's no secret you want to retain a core, and I think it's obvious that you're quite close to getting a few more of your core players back. How important is it? And I think we can announce signing news soon, quite soon, but how important for you is it to get a core back? And it feels like you're moving in that right direction, and there will be some familiar faces, I think, that fans will be happier back.
Yeah, I mean, look, the club is bigger than everybody, right? The club is bigger than the coaches, bigger than me, bigger than everybody involved. It's the club, right? And what was important about this year is make the club go forward. Now, obviously, with this incident, you know, I think our fan base really unified together. I think we got back to, you know, one big club, one club that's, you know, that's passionate about their team, and they supported us through thick and thin last year. Was you know, you guys saw the support, you guys, you know, lived it, you know, Jono and Dan, you were there, like, you know, that moment when Jono called the game-winning goal against Manch, like, I still have chills in my, you know, in my arms, like, because, you know, it's a crazy moment. And I think for us, it was important, though, as a club, we kind of make sure we progress that forward with those types of players that you talked about, Chris. And I think if you asked me 2 months ago, we had these guys locked in, well, I'd be really, really happy going into the off season, because then I would be feeling very confident for the rest of the recruitment phase.
I just found a tweet, actually, as we've been talking, and I think this kind of sums up and, you know, might just get your thoughts on it. I won't name the tweeter, but he said, after 28 hours of thinking, here's my thoughts about Danny Stewart. I think too many fans, myself included, just missed how clever this signing is. He goes on to pay a bit of tribute to Jonathan, which is lovely, and then says, Danny Stewart spent the past 8 years making Blades punch above their weight. He's good at it, and we've forgotten just how small a team they have in Coventry. I think, then he brackets, I look forward to the reactions this coming gets. I think I know what he means. They obviously don't have the spending power of some other teams. And then he finishes with, Danny knows how to deliver. He has a track record for sticking around. They are two qualities that the Panthers have been desperately searching for during the last half decade. And then he says, hats off to Omar Pasha. It's a blinding of a signing. That kind of encapsulates really what you have said and want, really, Omar, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, the track record can only speak for itself. And look, I've been a person that was, you know, in Hull before we moved to Manchester, the 2 years before the change ownership in Manchester, I stayed in Dundee for, like, I want to get another guy that is able to do that from a coaching standpoint, that's really there for the long term. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. Look, of anything, and even himself, like, you have, anything can happen now in this day and age, like anything, whether it's sport or outside of sport. But for me, with a season that will always be remembered last year, we all know Adam's always going to be remembered, but with the progression of us moving forward now, I think it's important that we get the right person that's able to lead us forward. And he dealt with something that was quite so difficult for him. And I think we saw how strong he was, and like all our guys, like our coaching staff was extremely strong, and he has my utmost respect as well. And the track record is the track record, but ultimately he's in a new position, he's in a new opportunity, and I think he's extremely, I mean, you met him, Chris, right? And I met him a few times in different cafes around Nottingham, so we don't get noticed. And I think he's quite excited, and I just hope I don't see him snap like a few times I saw him snap when I was a player coach, or we played against Fife, and then I didn't realize now he's got teeth. I thought he didn't have teeth before, so little things like that.
We enjoyed sneaking him to the arena the other day, and it was funny because just as we walked in the back door, I was like, how does this feel? He's like, you know, you've kind of been like not like taught to hate us, but, you know, taught that Nottingham are the enemy. And we just giggled about it. I said, look, you know, for the first time ever, you're walking in here as a Panther. And you could tell. And he actually, we walked in and we went up to do the interview. And then when we came back down to the ice, he took a moment to step around and take in the surroundings, which was really interesting to see. And you know, I think everyone should be excited, and it's an exciting time. I think we've done enough talking, guys. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to Greener and to Ken now on his way, and to John OU, and of course Omar, thank you for taking your time.
I just want to say one last thing. 100% he scored against Dan. Don't kid yourself.
He probably has. They beat us by six every time, man.
I don't know how we fight. Come on, John O. I mean, I bet if Chris
Gale... John O, come on.
I don't know every single player's like history. I'm not that detailed.
If Chris Gale was on, he would know. Come on.
Yeah, he would know. Yeah,
he would probably know. To be fair, yeah, yeah. I'm not that deep into my stats. I'm deep, but not that deep.
If he did, it would have been like the seventh goal in a 7-1 win, I bet.
Yeah, I'm trying to Google it, and it's not happening.
I have to look at that old, what was it, IH update or something.
YouTube didn't exist then.
You could be on for a long time if you're looking through all of that, wouldn't you? I'm just Googling names, and yeah, it's not working. We'll say he has.
Yeah, we'll say he has.
It's just going to be weird for him that, you know, how he can be animated behind a bench to be on our side now. Yeah. So our fans behind him might have to be really nice the first few games to welcome him back, because I'm sure they must have gave him a hard time.
Yeah. Did have a chat with someone the other day, like who had the best meltdown last season. Obviously, Pete Russell was up there, wasn't he, with his little one. And when the decision went against him, Kiefer's always very passionate, and Danny has had some, you know. But like we said, we love the, you know, that passion is what gets the fan interaction, and that passion just, you know, shows how much they care. Anyway, guys,
wait, one last thing, Chris. Upon that, I know I'm rambling, but one thing I will say, like you know, his time in Coventry, and he was extremely respectful, and he's still very respectful for that club. And you can tell he loves that club. He loved that club. And now, you know, for him, like, he's really, you know, the first few weeks, and he's really starting to embrace being a Panther. And you can tell, like, he knows a lot about the club. He's done his, you know, he knows obviously from the league, but you can tell he's really now really bought in. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he brings on the ice. I think he's buzzing, and I think everybody around the club is buzzing too, moving forward.
Brilliant. That's a great way to end it. Thanks very much, everyone, for joining us. And we'll see you soon on a Panthers podcast on Panthers Radio.